This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If loving Gogi is wrong, I don't want to be right.
What would Socrates say to that?
It tickles my fancy.
Okay.
Goosies.
I don't have hair!
Oof.
You got Marcos.
That's not
right.
Yeah, that's true, you do got me. Get over here, Marcos. Let me look at you.
They don't want it!
Tobin and Leroy, ready to deploy. Had to hit it with a little journalism, but that was a decoy. Better have about me, boy. Okay, Leroy and Tobin, hold to the show, man. Stairs and the stars with the show, and till then, his half moon open. Sometimes go taste like a snowman. No proof, I'm a lie about a motor. No proof. Like I always wanted him, I never hated him. I never traded him, and if I did, I never ever traded him. You know what? What is a star? Like under the city, the driver's side floor. Goose like a large, so many more. 10 in the more, never a bar. Hey, 10 in the more, 2 to the P. Nothing to you, but it's something to me. Handsome as ever. Cuties can be, you can watch this on YouTube review for free. This one time for the Twitch. This one time for the text. This one time for the phone line. Whole time, wonder what they gonna do next.
You know, I just wish you guys would stop the quibbling.
I knew Bogdanovich was going to give us that work last night.
Dang, you called
that. I knew Bogdanovich was going to give us that work last night.
You did call that.
Worst precursor I've ever seen.
You called that.
I knew it, dude.
I actually wish it was
here
only 25.
Here comes a 25-point Bogdanovich.
You know he's been awful this year, right? You guys know that. Like, he's been terrible this year.
I've actually never seen him be terrible. Like, I've never seen
him. Yeah, I know. We've never seen him be terrible, but Bogdanovich is legitimately been terrible. He's not old Bogdanovich.
Yeah, I don't know.
Unless he plays the Heat.
Wait, he's just old by Bogdanovich.
I don't even know if he is. I don't even know how old Bogdan Bogdanovich is. But I knew as soon as I saw him, he's 32. He's not that old. I mean, you know, unless he's like, you know, unless in Serbia they were having him play at 12. You know, there's Serbian Tibbs over there, like running him into the ground or something like that. But he's been legitimately a bad basketball player this year.
Yeah.
But I saw that face, and I'm like, oh, no, Bogdanovich is here tonight?
So I was getting ready to watch the game, and then I, oh, no, here comes another 25-point Bogdanovich, and I'm like, he has to be kidding. I haven't heard that guy's name since, well, the last time he came here.
Yeah, I know. Since his regular Hawks shenanigans where he's just lighting up the Heat. But nope, he was there last night. 31 points. 31 points.
Why
from
did you
Bogdanovich.
Put that into the ether?
I just knew. You know, I just knew. I don't know. I think I couldn't help it. I just saw him and I'm like, oh no.
What happened to old Tobin? Locking it down. We gonna lock him down.
I'm just embracing the struggle and forging on and there's something beautiful on the other side. That's what I've been told. That's what I've been told.
Sunshine.
You know what?
10 rebounds
When you get kicked in the junk,
Jesus.
The only thing on the other side is less pain.
Do you think like Chris Quinn ever says something smart alecky when Spo walked back in the office? He goes, You know when that beautiful thing is coming here. You go, shut up, Chris. You shut up. You should have taken the jazz job.
This is brutal.
Oh, my God. It's brutal, dude. It is so brutal.
And the thing is here's what I hate. And I get on you for doing this, right? I always say, you know, every game is different. You play that game. And I watch the game, and I'm like, here we go again.
But you know what the thing is like, it doesn't matter. They always get roped into, like, whatever game the opponent wants to play. Like, last night, you'd look at, like, the Heat, and you're like, ah, other than Bam. And Bam stunk yesterday. But, you know, I know he didn't get a ton of shots, but even in the shots they did, it wasn't close. It was, like, it was December Bam last night. And, you know, you got a good game. If you look at the box score, you're like, oh, Tyler played great. Wiggins played great. Dunks had a nice night. But, like, you let them score 61%.
Right.
Like, and Zubac. Oh, my God, Zubac.
He's a Hall of Famer now all of a sudden.
Jesus. I mean, he just demolished Ware and Bam like it was nothing. He took that poor Rook's cookies. It was bad, dude. It was rough. This is hard times, Daddy. These are the dark ages. Spo could sit here and he could talk about something beautiful, or there's beautiful in the struggle, or blah, 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 blah. Dude, they're legitimately lodged in the ninth, and the Bulls are breathing down their neck with the tiebreaker. Like, this is crazy. They're gonna end up on the fringes of the play-in. Don't let the Raptors get hot.
Hey, man.
Especially with this stretch you got coming.
Let me get this straight. Like, Marcos, seriously. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They got the Celtics on Friday.
Yeah.
I mean, unless the Celtics are... Even if the Celtics do the thing where they bench everybody and it's the Pritchard-Derek White show.
Please don't let it be that, actually.
You know it's going to be like... they're going to light it up and Pritchard is going to score 40 on Tyler Hero.
For sure.
Then you have Ja Morant the next night on the road.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Fighting for something in the West.
Then you have the Knicks on the road.
Game winner yesterday, Mikal Bridges.
I saw that. You know, to be honest with you, that's like the only thing that's left in the Heat that is like any level of pride.
Yeah.
Somehow, some way, in the midst of this losing streak.
Will be the Knicks. That'd be great.
Is the fact that the Blazers have yet to pass them in wins. But they've been close. They have been close. Joe Cronin is breathing down Pat Riley's neck. He's coming for blood.
Can I just
some way, somehow, they have not caught the Heat yet because they've lost five in a row as well.
Would that be the lowest point, as much fun as we made of Cronin in Portland?
It's just added low. It's like this is the lowest. But, yes, it's going to be another cherry on top. Of this bleep Sunday.
You don't put cherries on top of low.
What do you put? Rabbit pellets?
Cherry on top prunes. Is for the cake. So the celebration.
If it's a bleep Sunday though, you know, a real deuce in an ice cream bowl.
Yeah.
You got it right, deuce.
It's on top of that, are those rabbit pellets? Are they like little rat turds? Ooh. Like what is the sprinkles on a bleep Sunday?
Damn, that's not good.
Steam. Like, well, we out here laying down Stanley steamers.
It is it's tough. Yeah, it's like it's and open. What?
Oh! Don't forget.
Well, listen. I don't know what to tell you, dude. Like, this is one of those things. Like, I was listening yesterday to ESPN's podcast, and like, well, you know, then it's going to become an unprotected pick. It's like, yeah, but whatever, dude. The Heat are going to have their pick this year, and they're going to go into this thing with ping pong ball. They're not winning two play-in games. I'm telling you right now. The Heat are in one of the eight spot, if they're in the eight, they'll have a chance to make the playoffs. If they're in the nine spot and they have to win two play-in games, it's not happening. They're not winning two in a row, especially against those teams. Hawks, Magic, Bulls?
I mean...
They kick their ass all the time!
You were going through the schedule, and I was counting up the losses, to be honest. And I was...
Tell me where you find... Like, where is the win? Like, where is it? Tell me where this, when does the bleeding stop? They've lost five straight.
Yeah.
And really, let's be real about it. They've lost six out of seven.
Mm-hmm.
That one win was against the Wizards. Okay, so their last real win.
And it was a squeaker.
Right. Yeah, it was, they gave you a little pushback there in the third quarter. The last time the Heat had a win you were proud about was like beating the Pacers, right? That was a good win. And then the next night you had the, and then two nights later you had the Knicks game.
Yeah.
You blew that. And then this, the wheels have basically come off. You had your Ronnie Cicely moment, cool.
Great.
And then it's just been bloodbath. But seriously, you got the Celtics on Friday.
That's a loss.
Saturday's the Grizzlies on the road.
That's a loss.
New York on Monday, taking on the Knicks in the Mecca. On national television.
Yeah.
No Jalen Brunson.
Okay, could be a pride game. Could be a pride game, you know. You know, you get up for the Knicks, but
you got the Pit.
Mikal Bridges.
They got Mikal Bridges and they got Kat. And they got OG. But they don't, you know, they don't have Brunson. You played him tough last time. Maybe.
Isn't that crazy?
You'd be pleasantly surprised.
Maybe.
That's what maybe means.
Back Wednesday, you host the Detroit Pistons.
Nope. Biting for seeding.
Who, I mean, you want to talk about where this all went wrong. The scene of the crime. The scene of the crime. Oh, hell no! 10-13.
She's back.
Wow.
She is back.
It was rough out there. It was rough out there, Jennifer. It was. As you settle in, the scene of the crime, the scene of the crime was against the Pistons.
Mm.
In Detroit.
Yeah.
Spo forgetting how many that he had no timeouts.
The scene of the crime started with the man who I told you maybe passed his prime.
Then the other scene of the crime,
yeah.
We like to refer to this as the last time Jimmy Butler tried for the Miami Heat.
Ooh.
Monday, December 16th,
wow.
A 125-124 overtime loss to the Pistons.
Yep.
The Heat were 3 over .500 at that point. Could have gotten to 4 over .500. Jimmy Butler, 35 points. He had 19 rebounds. 10 assists.
Wow.
Incredible game by Jimmy Butler.
The last triple-double.
But you lost that game because Tim Hardaway hit three threes after you got an 8-point lead. So anyway, getting back to the schedule. The Detroit Pistons next Wednesday at home. I don't feel good about that game.
No, I don't. I don't feel good.
The Rockets... on Friday, you've beaten the Rockets, but you know who's going to be pissed and going to try and spike Tyler on his head is that Amen Thompson.
He's angry.
He's angry. So while the Rockets haven't been no great shakes as they were early in the season, they're still good.
Yeah.
They're not second in the West good, but they're good.
Pretty good.
So finally, after that five-game gauntlet, what do you think the record's going to be in that gauntlet, Leroy?
Oof.
2-3.
Oh.
I would kill for 2-3. I would kill for 2-3.
Boy, I got to tell you, this is a new Tobin.
No, it's a what do you want me to do? Tobin.
What do you want me to do?
Honest Tobes.
I'm honest Tobes.
I'm shocked you ain't talking about Heat and 5.
But Leroy, how could I do Heat and 5?
Look
at the games they've lost. You can't say
that's what you do.
But you can't say this is the same as other years. This is legitimately one of the lowest Heat years of all time.
This is the lowest. Look, this is the lowest year in the most recent years. But they've been teetering on this for the last 3 years, being in the play-in and kind of working it out at the end. So if anything had gone wrong back then, we'd be having that conversation a couple of years ago. And what I would say to you is, you can't play like that. So
I don't really understand, though. Like, they've never been this bad with Jimmy Butler. So I get, like...
No, I'm not... I'm not saying with or without Jimmy Butler. I'm saying the team as a whole has been playing with this play-in fire for the last 3 years.
But forget play-in fire. I don't want to talk about play-in. The play-in is the worst it's been in the East in a long time. All of these teams are 7-8 games under 500. The East play-in is a joke. I'm right. talking about record, the way they lose, doing things that are done that only the Jazz are doing.
Correct.
Teams actively tanking. You can't compare it, Leroy. Just because their positional record is the same, it's not. They are a bad basketball team.
Yes, but you have to put every season in perspective. So while you're taking the record and saying this is the worst record, I look at the positioning, and each year it kind of works on a curve. Some years you might have to be over 500 to get the eighth seed, right?
Yeah.
This year isn't that. This is a bad year for the Eastern Conference in general.
Yeah, but that's like, that's those people, like, it's when you go back on, like, the Dolphins and you say, oh, we had five straight years of winning record. It's like, yeah, but you were 8-8 going into every single final week and they added a game. Like, it's smoke and mirrors. You weren't really a winning team.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
But it's not, but like, the Heat being a 9 or an 8 this year is different than it was 2 years ago when they were two games away from being a 4.
But it's relative to basketball this year.
But it's not.
You know, it's kind of like the thing where you have a team 1 year win a division, winning 13 games, and then the next year that same division goes 8-9. And has a team in play.
Yeah, so you need to realize whether if it would be like that 8-win team, it would be like the Seahawks of 7-9 thinking they're the same. It's like, we're division champions again if you won a division with 13 games. It's like, yeah, but it wasn't the same team. So
right.
I can't go, just because the Heat are one position away from where they were last year, come on, dude, they're miles away from where they were last year.
Yes, but so is the Eastern Conference.
Just the bottom of it.
Yeah,
just the play in all those teams that are there, which is basically their whole division.
All I'm saying is this: each year is different. Okay, if you take the wins and losses out of it and just put the positioning, how you get to that position is going to vary from year to year, because what is going to qualify for that position is going to be different from year to year. My whole point is that every year, the team we've had different conversations because of how the team has been playing. Okay, so let me correct that. We've had different conversations. But what has been consistent is most of the last couple of years, the Heat have been damn near in the same situation.
Again, though, they haven't been, because they haven't really been, like, if you get into the play-in, whatever you want to say, you would honestly, you could talk about the top of the competition of the East. They were closer to that being in the eighth than they were now, which is basically they might as well be the Wizards compared to the top of the East.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even if they're in the same positional spot. So I don't, like, that's where you and I just aren't agreeing on this, that they're in we're the not, same spot.
Because I think when you play with the play-in fire, this is a possibility. And so now we're here, and you can say it's different or not, but I have been consistent with
they might be out of the play-in. Like, it's not right. It's I not know. Impossible for them to be out of the play-in.
I know.
Don't rule them out on that.
In all the years past, they were a 5-game slide of being in that same spot.
But it was never going to happen. Like, there weren't you probably could count.
I understand it didn't happen. But I'm saying, when you keep playing like this and being in this position, you are a 5-game slide from being out of it. And it happened this year for whatever reason. And all I'm saying is this: you can't keep hovering around average. And would you agree that I don't care if there were only 4 games out of the 4 seed or 3 games or 2 games, the last few years, not playing the result, we have come to this point of the season, even though the team is worse now, okay? We've come to this point of the season talking about, oh, if we just go on a run, if we just do this, we'll be the sixth seed, or we'll be the fourth seed, or we'll be this. And it's still, they end up around this area. So, like, yeah, the team is worse. But I would say you've been playing with fire for the last couple of years.
I guess. I mean, like, I would say if you want to parse it to your spot, say that you think they were average or slightly above average the last 2 years, they're bad now.
Yes. Yes. But and
if you want to go by your way,
so is the Eastern Conference.
The
besides the top,
the top six are not bad. Right. They're bad. Anybody below six is bad.
Right.
They are bad. They're not average. They're not below, they're not a little above average. They're not
right.
We could get hot. When you had that those other years, you could make that argument. I don't care, like, I don't care what you want to say, or you're frustrated about how the regular seasons were or how enjoyable they were. They still had a chance.
That I agree.
Now they are bad. They are closer to the Raptors than they are to the Pistons.
I agree with all of that, but I'm saying that the fact still remains, you're still playing with your food and you're in this position.
They're not playing they're not playing with their food. They're not.
You lose this many
games. They get their lunch money taken.
You play this many games and lose this many leads at this point. I can't, for the life of me, I want an explanation, and I can't give you a good one. I can't.
Beauty in the struggle.
No, there's
stress
not.
Stress is good.
No, there's not.
For John.
There's not.
Take a break.
No.
Back after this. Welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you. For those of you that want to know what we're all about. Take you guys up until 2 here on the program. We did 15 minutes of heat to start off the show, which is also always brought to us by our friends over at Hollywood Kia. At Hollywood Kia, the number one Kia dealer in all of Florida. Get the star treatment we want to see in a Hollywood Kia. Visit them online at HollywoodKia.com. You guys can get in on the chat at the Twitch feed and at Miami 560 WQM on YouTube, and check that on out as well. Miami Dolphins in their free agent frenzy. They have just signed a linebacker, Leroy KJ Britt from Tampa Bay. Started a few games last year for them. I think he started 11 games for him last year, 14 over his career. Add a little linebacker depth to the Dolphins.
I just think they're trying to, you know, gradually improve at certain positions based on what's available.
Well, thank you, Bobby. The only things that the things that they haven't touched on yet that they, I guess, need to, unless they're going to go in house. I mean, like, the thing that's very noticeable is corner, right? Like, they let Kendall Fuller go. Are they going with Cam Smith to start this year? Are they going to go sign somebody?
I'm nervous. I mean, even if they draft someone.
I don't know.
You think they're going to draft the Michigan corner?
Even if they do, I feel like we haven't had success with, like, drafting corners.
It's such a weird thing. They're so good at finding undrafted corners, but they stink at drafting corners. What is that?
Right. I think.
Used to be good.
A lot of people get in positions where in it's their own fault. Where every decision has to work, right? There's a lot of teams out there that have made decisions that have just been duds. But when you're trying to catch up to those teams, it seems like your decisions on how you spend your money, who you draft, who you bring in, has to work even more. A case in point, when you look at Philadelphia and look at some of the defensive players they brought in, right? Hell, they had a Pro Bowl. They had a All Pro who was a special teams guy the year before.
Oh yeah, was that Bond?
Yeah. So, like, while we're
the Dolphins
here,
had that. The Dolphins had that too with Van Ginkle. They let him walk.
Right. So, It's hard to determine because you may not know the name.
No, I don't know. But that's the thing that I'm wondering is, are the Dolphins, because I don't know how the Dolphin fan feels about this. This is the thing that's like, are they going to go into this year and give basically Cam Smith the keys? I guess if it doesn't work with Storm Duck, is there to kind of hold the fort, or you bring right. in maybe a veteran that you think, but I would imagine a guy that you drafted in the second round who was your first pick that year, mm-hmm. though he very much, very clearly didn't go well with Fangio and got a bunch of injuries and didn't really seem like Anthony Walker was that big a fan either. Are they really going into this thing and being like, get him, young chap? Because it is year three. Like, it's kind of bleep or get off the right. pot, is it not?
That's accurate. That you don't want to draft the guy in the first couple of rounds and after year three still have questions about whether it's going to work out. I think at some point, because you drafted him that high, you should have already seen some signs of flash. And we haven't seen it. That being said, like, they've put themselves in a position where everything has to work. And it really doesn't always work. And it's not just with the Dolphins. We only see the teams that it worked out for when you look at what Detroit did with the running backs and stuff like that, when you look at what the Eagles did, right? It doesn't mean that you're making bad decisions. Now, the free agency has not been very conducive to getting quality players. And if you look at free agency, even the guys that made a ton of money in free agency, they all had questions.
Oh, I feel like this is to me.
Somebody got 80 million and was a backup in Philly.
Oh, this has been a very boring free agency. I don't feel like there's really been one. I know that people like were crazy because the Bears redid their trenches, but like, you know, act like you know who the good linemen are in free agency. Like, every fan's lying to you.
Right, exactly.
So it's like, I feel like it's been like there's been interesting trades that have led to big deals, like the DK Metcalf thing or whatever ends up happening with the Bengals. Like, those are flashy, those are splashy. But right now, this has kind of been like, all right, I'm going to take your word for it. Like, because unless you, as a Dolphin fan, when you watch free agency, the only thing you're like, you spent how much on who? And they really haven't had a moment like that.
So,
you know, the only one that's of controversy right now is the backup quarterback, because you're like, you paid Zach Wilson. Like, I saw Mac Jones got $3 million a year from the 49ers, and I was like, I can't believe I'm saying this. This is right up there with my Brett Favre. I think I would have preferred Mac Jones. No, you don't have to clip that.
Oh, yeah.
But he's got actual, like,
hey, you say something, and then all of a sudden you see this.
Hold on one second.
No.
I understand his name is McCorkle.
You understand his name is McCorkle.
Okay.
You can't take it back.
Hold on, though. The man has genuine starting experience. Okay. Mm-hmm. He was a Pro Bowler.
Don't do this.
He was a Pro. Like, if we're going to do Leroy, if Leroy's going to go, they're always a playing team. He was a Pro Bowler. And you can't take that away from him. Zach Wilson wasn't a Pro Bowler. No one would bring Zach Wilson to the toilet bowl. He was a Pro Bowler. And he started last year. He had to do what they did that last year with Trevor Lawrence. No, he was in the Jaguars. They sucked. But $3 million for, like, would you, if I had to put it out here, all right, $6 million for Zach Wilson, who played no games last year, but you know, hey, that guy's got a real chooch. Doesn't know where to throw it, but he's got a chooch. Or boring McCorkle for half the price.
So here's the other thing you have to understand about free agency. Who's to say McCorkle wasn't asking for the Daniel Jones contract because he was a starter and a Pro Bowler? And he ended up with only $3 million. So you don't know at the time of the signing.
That's true.
Both of these guys were asking for.
That's fair.
So to say, I would have rather this guy had all the quarterbacks got signed. He was trying to get more money, and it didn't work out. So he has to just get a job.
Maybe.
So let's not Maybe. Just all of a sudden make these assumptions.
Well, the Dolphins came. Hey, listen.
On the table, you had $6 million here or $3 million here, and you went with the $6 million. That $3 million could have been $8 or $9 million at the time when you had to make your decision.
I'm to believe that Zach Wilson had more suitors after him out of the gate of free agency than Mac Jones did?
No, the price.
But his price was more expensive.
No. You think – wait. And I just – did you just hear what I said?
Yes, that's what I'm asking. I'm telling you.
It ended up being $3
million. Mm-hmm.
When the Dolphins decided to sign Zach Wilson, who's to say McCorkle wasn't at $8 or $9 million because he was a starter and a pro bowler?
Hmm.
That who's to say he didn't want that same contract that what's his name got in Indianapolis?
But I think that kind of goes to my point. Like you wouldn't wait for like – so you're telling me so Mac –
you want him to wait and then – wait. Hold on. Hold on. Here's where it gets tricky.
Mm-hmm.
You wanted him to wait, and what if both of them had gotten signed?
I have a hard time believing. This is just me. I'm just saying. I'm not dismissing what you're saying, but let me just – my opinion would be I have a hard time believing that there was a bunch of suitors for Zach Wilson. I got a hard time believing it. He played no games last year.
Did you have a hard time believing that – the senior Bosa was going to get $12.5 million for not playing?
I didn't find it that surprising.
That's shocking.
Most of the numbers around there were $10 million. People were talking like $10 million. Now, the Dolphins, apparently, the reports were they offered less than $8 million. So the Dolphins really did have a sticking point on price. But there was reports that I think San Francisco was around $10 million. So if one team wasn't going to spend any cash base, they're like, all right, let's give them $12 million. Like, if the bill, who are the Bills going to spend money on this offseason?
Right.
So no, I don't think it's again. If he got $20 million, you know, it wasn't that out of the realm of the numbers I was seeing.
Right.
I just saw I was like Mac Jones making $3.5 million for 2 years. I was like, that just seems more reasonable than Zach Wilson getting $6 million for what?
Right.
I think Mac Jones is going to stink.
At the time.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You don't know what these two guys were asking for.
I don't, obviously. And I was not in those negotiations.
The end result, and to say I would rather have the $300 million guy, sure, with the Dolphins.
No.
At the time.
So you're telling me the Dolphins got foisted in 72 hours?
No. I'm saying that I bet you that Mac Jones' contract or his asking price was a lot higher because he was a pro bowler and he was a starter.
He ends up in San Francisco, which wasn't the whole rumors that when they drafted Trey Lance, they really wanted Mac Jones the whole time.
Yeah.
And that they were too embarrassed to draft Mac Jones at 3.
Yeah. So instead they drafted a guy that
they're not going to pay Purdy, are they? They're going to play hardball with Purdy.
That's weird, right?
They're going to play hardball with your boy Brock Purdy there, frog boy.
Hey, man. As long as he stays mobile, he'll earn that check, dude.
The other thing he probably needs to do is stay healthy.
Yeah.
While you're sitting here looking at all this mobile stuff,
mm-hmm.
He's been banged up the last couple of years.
Run away from the hits.
No, he hasn't been able to.
Got to get more mobile.
See, like, there's a, like, I, like, so, look. It's... It's cool for us to say we don't know who this guy is or this guy is or this guy is. But we have an example of last year where the Philly fans were, you know, having a fit that the only splash that they made was Saquon Barkley. Right?
Philly fans having a fit?
They wanted to fire their coach in the beginning of the year.
Yeah, but not over moves. They were mad because the coach – the reason they wanted to fire their coach was because the coach the year before
him –
what?
He says crazy things. He's a mush.
No, the reason that they wanted to is because there was a lot of talk in the locker room that there was a lot of stars on that team who had lost their belief in him. Like, remember, they had a collapse the year before, and fell off the rails. Like, that's the reason why everybody was distrustful. And then, remember, you had the whole thing with Brandon Graham going on the radio there, basically saying that Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown still hate each other, and they're like, this guy can't control the locker room. That had nothing to do with their offseason moves.
By the way, you're never going to control that. There's just guys
maybe
that
not.
Aren't going to like each other. All you can do is teach them to be professional.
Maybe that's not. But that's where it came from. It had nothing to do with the offseason moves.
I just think, first of all, the free agency this year hasn't been, you know, big names here or there. Most of it has been trades. And most of it has been giving offensive linemen ridiculous contracts because we see the importance of it, i.e., there's five guys that got Robert Hunt deals.
Yeah. I mean, we reacted like that when Robert Hunt got that deal, though he did make the Pro Bowl.
So from that standpoint, I'm going to be a little more cautious into evaluating what's going on simply because I've seen situations where guys got signed that I had no idea who they were by teams and it ended up working out. I'm not saying it's going to work out, but I'm saying that the needs that you had, and everybody can, you know, everybody knows this, offensive line. Those offensive linemen that were getting all that money, you wouldn't have been happy if the Dolphins would have gave them all that money because half of them were either banged up, hurt, or whatever. They got an offensive lineman that tore his Achilles, right? But he was really good before that.
Yeah.
And all you can do is kind of hope it works out. That being said, I think and I believe that there'll be more deals around draft time, or the Dolphins are going to have to do really well in the draft.
Oh, they have to. No, there's no doubt about that. They have to.
And there can't be any.
Especially with as many picks as they got. They haven't had it.
Right. They haven't had this many picks.
They haven't had this many picks in a while. They got. You got to hit on like they got it. They got to get people who can provide for this team. Like with half of those picks
away. But here's the deal. In the past, you have signed veterans, brought in young guys that needed development. Well, that needs to change in that you need to draft guys who can be contributors who might not have the greatest upsides, but you know you can depend on them on the football field right away.
Right, which kind of brings us back to our starting point of, like, do they trust their corner they drafted 2 years ago to be a starter now? Like, I don't know. Based on...
I would say this is one of the things you got to wait out.
Yeah, we don't know yet.
You don't, like, to say at this point in time whether they trust him or not, when the offseason process is probably a quarter into it, you'll know by the end of the summer... Or by July or the end of May, right? May, June, July, in there. If they trust him enough to put him on the field and be a starter, based on the moves they make, who they draft, or whatever. You'll find out relatively quick.
We'll take a quick break. Florida Panthers, big time matchup tonight against the Leafs. Back after this.
Previously on
Tobin and Leroy.
I think Mac Jones is going to stink.
Mac Jones, kiss my ass.
Focus. The new streak starts tonight, Cats fans.
Ooh.
Get to our road to repeat here, brought to us by our friends over at Celsius Hockey Fans. Don't sit this one out. When it's game time, make Celsius a part of your play and get that energy up. Game day is fueled by Celsius Essential Energy Drinks, the official energy drink of...
I'm sorry.
Leroy's muted.
You didn't your say Florida Panthers!
You blew that.
I was focused on the Celsius.
For not paying attention. Like,
are
I don't...
Gonna put
Florida
me
Panthers!
Minus one.
Back to the bright chair.
Let's try this again. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. The official energy drink of
your Florida Panthers.
Thank you. All right.
Pretty good.
Cats taking on the Leafs tonight. 7 o'clock is your puck drop. You can hear that right here on 560 WQAM as the Cats embark on this road trip. I always love listening to Paul Maurice because, like, this man breaks down travel. You know, I feel like in another life, Paul Maurice would have made a great travel agent. Because this man always like talks about the time zones they're going through and all that stuff. And he's like, you know, we've had a great advantage over the last six games. We've been home, but now the advantage flips on the road. I was like, whoa, that's ominous. And they had this awful loss to Boston, which was just so un-Cats-like this past game. Now, yesterday, they got the Gooseys. They got to go to the Hockey Hall of Fame. Did you guys see any of the pictures from this?
Whoa.
No.
Hockey Hall of Fame yesterday. They dropped out. They got to see their ring.
Look at that.
They got to be reintroduced to their friend Stanley. Kachuk was there?
Was he?
He was.
Did you measure his gape? What did you do?
I saw pictures, dude. This wasn't like when I stalked Tua at the radio row. No, I did not look at his gait. Yeah, I did not look at his gait. I mean, he's there. Yeah. I think that's a good sign.
How was he standing up straight, smiling? I need details.
He was standing up straight, a little hunched over, leaning in, looking at his name on the Stanley Cup.
Look
and I believe
at that.
I think it was it George Richards?
With an asterisk?
No, there was no asterisk, so much to the Oilers fans' chagrin. I believe the quote was, never gets old.
Never gets old.
And I don't think it would get old. How would they get?
No.
Oh, no, it was Randy Moeller. It was Randy Moeller who tweeted it out. Excuse me. Panthers legend Randy Moeller, who you'll hear on the call on Scripps Sports tonight. He said, Matthew Tkachuk admiring the cup, as he always says, quote, it never gets old.
There he is.
Look at that.
Man, Hockey Hall of Fame sounds pretty cool.
I know.
It sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
You been to the Hall of Fame, Leroy? You been to any Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I used to do events at Football Hall of Fame.
I've seen the busts. Like, they bring the busts for the Super Bowl. They'll bring them and then put them at the media center. I think the NFL's got the cool. I don't even know what hockey is, to be honest with you. But the bust, the Hall of Fame bust, is the coolest thing for a Hall of Fame.
I would say that. Will we agree that the easiest Hall of Fame to get in is basketball?
Yes,
because it's the Basketball Hall of Fame. It's not the NBA Hall of Fame.
Yes, very willy nilly.
And even more willy nilly is how they decide or not to decide to put baseball players in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, of course.
Because, I can't.
Where's that coward who didn't vote for Ichiro? Where is he?
I can't even. The problem with it is that all these Hall of Fames say this. You can't tell the history of our game during the time that these guys were playing without mentioning these guys.
Mm-hmm.
That makes them Hall of Famers.
Yep.
The conversation about baseball in the last few years has been more about the guys who aren't in the Hall of Fame than who are in the Hall of Fame. Thus making your Hall of Fame, I got to tell you, not as good as the rest.
The Hockey Hall of Fame plaque is kind of standard. It looks like an Employee of the Month plaque.
Wow. Cheapo.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that.
And with hockey, you're all over the world, right? You got guys from all over the world. So,
yes.
It's not just an American thing. Same thing with baseball.
Well, it's in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball, I've been to the Baseball Hall of Fame. It's the only Hall of Fame I've been to.
Yeah.
It is cool. I mean, I was a real baseball nerd, of course, growing up. But to me, honestly, the Hall of Fame itself is the most boring part of the Hall of Fame. Like, walking through and seeing all the artifacts and all that type of stuff, that to me was the cooler part of it. But just the plaque itself, I think the baseball one is cool, but the thing that annoys me, and I'm a little petty about it, is there's never going to be a Marlin in the Hall of Fame because they never put the logo on there. Like, who's going to get that chance? The only guy who maybe has a shot that you could argue about is Giancarlo Stanton.
Yeah.
Right?
He's not putting Marlin's hat on.
Well, they don't get to choose. I think unless it's like even Steven, I don't think they get to choose. Sometimes the Hall of Fame picks, but he's the only guy I think we have a shot. I mean, maybe Sandy makes the Hall of Fame, but we know he's gone after opening day. He's gone. So gone.
Can I touch anything in the Hall of Fame?
Can you touch anything?
Yeah, like I want to be able to swing.
What are you, a child?
I want to be able to. I want to take a pitch from Sandy Koufax and just knock it out of the thing.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. They do that.
That'd be pretty cool, right? That's why these Hall of Fames are boring. They're like, look at this guy. Look at this guy.
What have you been to?
Goth
Hall Rock, of Fame. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
No, the country.
I've been there.
Really? In Nashville?
Yeah.
Is it cool?
I liked it.
Can I make music there?
You know, it's funny. They actually have a recording studio in there.
Boom!
Where you can pick a song and you can sing and record
cool.
the song and
that.
You can let's hear
That's kind of cool.
Come it was on. Cool.
Get with it, Hall of Fames. Stupid.
I've been to the Cleveland Hall of Fame.
Can I wear Leroy's shoulder?
You've been to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
That'd be cool.
That'd be cool.
That's pretty cool.
What do you get for that? Do you get a plaque, a bust? Like, what do they do?
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Like some of them, it's like they dedicate sections, right? So, but it's kind of it's weird in that they used to do the concert there. And now they do the concert somewhere else.
Hmm.
Like the concert's not even.
Well, it's like made for TV right now, yeah? Like then they changed it.
Exactly.
It's like a whole thing.
Exactly.
All right, we got to take a break. Hour 2 is next.
Looks like a hard rock.